Before I hand over to Maddie, I want to read a few verses. And these verses are from Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5. This is a psalm of David. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. And in verse 9, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. You may wonder why I chose that psalm, but these verses from Psalm 31 were actually read on local ABC radio this week. I'd asked the Lord about something to share, and as I lay in bed the other morning and listened to this testimony, I thought it was something I could share with you today. It's 10 years since these verses were significant in an incident near Charleville. A journalist was interviewing a gentleman about an ammonium nitrate explosion which occurred on the road near Charleville 10 years ago. And of course, there's been another explosion near Gladstone, and I guess this has brought up this incident again. And I can remember it happening. 10 years ago, a fire in a truck's engine forced the driver off the road near Charleville, and the fire caused an explosion of the ammonium nitrate that he was transporting. The site after the explosion was one of devastation, as you can imagine. A railway bridge was destroyed and the road needed rebuilding. The explosion didn't happen immediately. The driver did suffer 35% burns on his body, and the first responders were attending to him at the side of the truck when the explosion did occur. They were all below the level of the tyres, and everything above tyre level was devastated at the time of the explosion. There were seven men at the site at the time, and no one was killed, which was a miracle. When I listened to this story the other morning, it brought tears to my eyes. The gentleman who was being interviewed reported that if anyone had been standing at the time of the explosion, they would have been hit by the blast. At the time of cleanup and investigation of the devastated site, the ground was bare and there were no leaves left on any of the trees, but a piece of paper was found in one tree. This piece of paper had the verses from Psalm 31 printed on it. It was from the driver's Bible. The truck driver was a Christian and always carried his Bible with him in his kit. It had been given to him when he was 21 by his father, a Baptist pastor. This one page of God's word had been miraculously preserved. This one page had been miraculously preserved for the investigators to find. God had protected the driver and the other men at the time of the explosion. This page was later laminated and given to the driver, whose wife gave birth to a child a week after the incident. God's word had been preserved as a witness to his protection at the time of the incident and continues to be spoken about today. Even the radio announcer, who's not a Christian, said it, that just brings goosebumps to me. He could recognise there was something special about this story. But the one being interviewed was able to witness about God's protection in time of trouble. So we know that God's word stands forever. It provides a steady anchor to our lives. Our topic today is what it means to be living sacrifices and world changers. Let us be challenged and encouraged by what God has to say to us through Maddie today. So, shall we pray, and then I'll hand over to Maddie. Father God, you are a miracle-working God, and your word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. We thank you that your word never returns to you empty, but will accomplish what you desire. We pray for Maddie as she presents your word. Give her boldness and clarity from your Spirit, and give us open and receptive hearts and minds to what you want to say to us today. We think of those ladies who cannot be here today, and we pray that they will look to you for guidance and encouragement in whatever activities they are doing today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll now hand over to Maddie.
Thank you for sharing so genuinely from your heart, Shirley. That's just such a blessing, and I know I'm always encouraged when I see the way that God can move other people's hearts. You know, it reminds us of what we're here to learn about. You're such back row bandits. This is so funny. I'm going to move forward. Is that okay? It's really lovely to be here with you all. Some of you I know and have met at various visits here to Stanthorpe Baptist over the years, but it's really nice to be back. And yeah, if I haven't met you before, my name is Maddie. I've got a little bit of a who's this crazy lady with the microphone introduction. My name is Maddie. That's my beautiful husband Tom in the top corner there. We've been married a little bit over 3 years now. He normally gets dragged along on these adventures with me, but he's from North Queensland. He's up visiting his family, so I've got a dear friend Chloe on the adventure with me this weekend. But that's Tom. He's an optometrist. We live on the north side of Brisbane, and for quite a while now. I've always really loved to travel, but I've just recently kind of gotten Tom on the train, which is really exciting. So that's a few photos from us in South America last year. We went over and did a bit of an optometry clinic for a while using some of Tom's skills, and I learned lots of new skills along the way, but we did some travel as well. These days I am working with Queensland Baptist. As Shirley said, I get to work in the space of kind of leadership development, which is all about empowering young people in our Queensland Baptist churches to find their feet and what it could mean for them to be leaders in their churches and workplaces and communities, but also helping pastors all across our state grow to be healthier leaders and more flourishing leaders. And it's something I'm really passionate about. I think we understandably maybe have a lot of cynicism about leadership. You look at politicians and church leaders that fall from grace and make mistakes, and it's so important for us to make sure that we're making wise choices and taking care of ourselves. So it's an area I'm really passionate about, and I've been in the role about a bit over 18 months now, and really enjoying it. It's been a great blessing to me personally, and so I just spend every day trying to be as much of a blessing to the people I get to walk alongside as I know that this has been to me. And the other photos are just, I was thinking like, man, what's the last few years of my life been like? And I just have only just escaped from university in the last 12 months. I was at uni from 11 years, 3 separate graduations, and that's been a big defining factor. So that's up there as well. So that's a little bit about me. I was a pastor before I was in this role. And I love people, but I love the church. I love God's church, and I love meeting up with other women who just want to grow and make sense of this life that we live in, this crazy world that we're a part of. And so here we are, not here today to talk about me, but we're here to talk about you guys, and we're here to talk about God. And we're going to take a bit of an adventure through Romans 12. I know those of you who have been doing some of the Bible studies here at the church, you've been looking through Romans, and we're gonna plant ourselves in Romans 12 today, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's one that's been really, really important to me personally over the years, but I've never gotten to stop and do a dive like this and bring it with a group like this as well. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'm going to do a bit of talking because that's, you know, I'm here and they've given me a microphone. But I'm not going to talk the whole time. There's going to be some space for you guys to discuss together, some space where we'll just play some music and you can reflect. As Shirley said, if you don't feel comfortable sharing or talking, that's totally okay. You can just say, hey, I'm just thinking about this, you know, by myself, and that's totally all right. But, you know, life is very full and we've always got stuff we've got to get done, and there was always jobs to do and work to be had and people to see. And I just hoped that maybe this afternoon could be a little bit of a place where, yeah, I say some stuff, but we also just take some time to be still and just let God speak to us and you know, maybe remind us of things we've forgotten, or maybe teach us something new about ourselves that he wants to raise on up in us. So that's a little bit of an emotional preparation as we go about this afternoon. There'll be lots of little breaks along the way for us to walk through that together. But we're going to be in Romans 12, as I mentioned. And I mean, you know, even that story we've heard today that was on ABC this week, but you scroll through the news or you know, on Facebook, whatever your consumption of media is like these days. And it gets crazier day by day, right? This world that we live in. And it can be very easy to feel overwhelmed. I know I have days where I feel overwhelmed and I look at the state of the world around us and so much of the suffering and the injustice that goes on there, and you just don't know what to do. It can feel easy to be overwhelmed and to feel like we can't really make a difference. But as we're going to see, I hope, as we go through Romans 12 today, it just shows us that we can make a difference. If we partner with the God of the universe who loves us, who loves every other person on this planet, He can work through us to be people who can bring change into our world, positive change in our world. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 8 in our first little hour together, and then the rest of Romans 12 in the second session together. So let's get in and let's have a bit of a read. It's going to be up on the screen. It's not too small, but I'm going to read it out too. So this is the first bit of Romans 12. Paul, who writes this letter, says, "And so, my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God's given us. Just as our bodies are many parts and each part has special functions, so it is with Christ's body, with the church, with His family. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's to give, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." There's a few highlights that I wanted to kind of pull out of these verses, some little bites for us to take away before we spend a little bit of time thinking a bit more deeply about how this looks for each one of us individually in the context that we find ourselves week to week, where we work, the families we're a part of, the schooling we might be a part of, whatever that looks like. But as I read through these verses, the first thing that I see, if we are going to think and believe that God wants to partner with us to bring good change to this world, then I think we can see that world changes are surrendered and they are molded by God. We see this particularly in those first couple of verses of chapter 12. And it's not even like we're the ones who are supposed to like initiate this great responsibility. Paul says that we're to give over our lives to God because of everything God has done for us, right? We have this incredible Lord who loves us, who lavishes love on us, who offers us salvation. And so whenever we reach out to surrender, to be molded by Him, it's as a response of everything that He's done for us. And these verses here talk about worshiping God for who He is and what He's done with our bodies. But this is like a really holistic sense of the word bodies, right? So it is our physical bodies, you know, waking up every morning and knowing we can go out and do things because we've got hands and we've got feet. But it also involves our minds and our intellect and our spirit and our souls. And that takes, you know, we spend our whole lives trying to figure out what it means to fully surrender everything we are to God for His will. And as I was sitting and I was thinking, I was like, thought of an analogy to try and illustrate what this looks like. And I thought, man, I love that I'm in a room full of women, because I think that the thing that I thought of was it's kind of like pregnancy or like an expectant first mother. Many of you in this room might have had that experience. I haven't yet myself, but I still know there's something in this. A first-time mother, she's ready to sacrifice her body. She's ready to sacrifice her lifestyle. You know, she's willing to give up her own needs for the sake of another. There's this all-encompassing sacrificial posture in the way that we're called to live for God. This is the kind of commitment that Paul is talking about. Those who want to partner with God and make a difference in this world, we need to be ready to give it our all. We need to be ready to follow God however He is calling us to follow Him along the way. But as well as that, those of us who want to see change in our world, we need to unite with other people that are doing the same, right? In verses 3-6, Paul says, you know, you've got to be humble. Don't think of yourself as better than you really are. He reminds us that when you love God, you're a part of a family. You're a part of a local church, often like Stanthorpe Baptist, but also a whole family of believers across all of time and across all of our world. And this grace comes in, right? It reorders our lives. We open ourselves up to being a living sacrifice for God. But that doesn't make us superheroes. It doesn't mean that we're able to do all these incredible things all on our own, this lone ranger that's able to go out and change the world because we've, you know, been zapped with like the spidey powers. It makes us like we're part of a team. We're a part of a family, which is the people of God. And we need to humble ourselves and we need to serve our family. We need to serve the people of God. But we also need to serve alongside them and to look out to the world around us and see the brokenness and the darkness and see what we can do to help bring positive change into those places as well. And the last thing that I see in these other couple of verses is that we're also given something to offer. There's lots of mention in these verses here about what we call spiritual gifts, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But what I wanted to highlight out of that is that God really does give us something to offer the church, and he gives us something to offer the world. By conforming to God's will and his purposes, not the ways of the world, we're given these abilities and these opportunities to make a difference in the lives of others, which is actually a difference for all eternity for some people. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. It's not that we are ever able to change the world. We can't do very much in our own strength. But God, who is the ultimate agent of change and of restoration and of bringing peace and goodness into our world, he wants to partner with us and he wants to work with us to bring more and more good into this world. And that is just mind-blowing for me. God's made each one of us uniquely with different talents, different personalities, with different purposes and plans that he's laid out for each one of us to do. And we have something that we can offer the world around about us. And so for a big portion of this first session, we're going to be looking at what that means. What is it that we have to offer the church to encourage it and to raise it up? What do we have to encourage our communities around about us and our world? How has God sown and made each one of you beautiful women individually so that you can go out and change the little part of the world that you inhabit, this tiny part that you are a part of? And so we're going to go on this little journey and we're going to go through something called SHAPE. Has anyone ever heard of this before? It's been around a little while. Yeah, I saw it once more. I think it's a really helpful resource. All of these different little headings are something we're going to take a moment to reflect on. There's these little green little flyer things on the table. If you don't have one, you might want to grab one and a pen. We're going to have some moments to reflect throughout. But each one of these are different aspects of the way God has made us and formed us that can help us understand what kind of ways we're able to bless the community around about us. It's so important, I think, to just stop and take a really good look in the mirror sometimes. Remember the ways that God's made us, the strengths we have, the personalities he's given us. I think it helps us walk with more confidence when we continue to understand those things better and better. Sometimes God might want to reveal new things to us, and we need to really understand ourselves better before we can step into that space. So we're going to go through each of these sections, and you've got room on your little sheet there to just kind of fill in bits and pieces as we go along. It's there for you guys to use how you would like to. But my hope is that by the end of this first session, you'll be able to look at this piece of paper, and there might be a whole bunch on here that is not news to you, and that is totally okay. But I think it's just helpful to take that moment to just sit back and look holistically, right? To get the bird's eye view of who we are and our life so that we can better assess how it is we're serving. How are we spending our time? Are we really obeying what God wants us to be doing in this season? So the S in SHAPE stands for spiritual gifts. And that's a lot of what we had mentioned in kind of those verses 3-6 of Romans 12, when Paul is talking about prophesying and teaching and serving and encouraging. Spiritual gifts, as many of us know, are gifts given to believers in Jesus Christ. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're not anything that we can do of our own selves, but they're these divinely inspired abilities that are used to minister and build up the church, especially. But I believe the world is blessed when we use the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Spiritual gifts are like muscles. We're supposed to use them and empower them and strengthen them. We're not supposed to be given a spiritual gift and then just bury it away in the ground. There's a whole bunch of different lists of kinds of spiritual gifts throughout the New Testament, which is those ones on the screen. We just read through the ones from Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is another very famous chapter filled with all kinds of gifts. There are other ones sort of littered throughout the Bible where we see people, particularly I think of that like craftsmanship or artistic ability. In Exodus 36, some of the creative people that were tasked with building God's temple, they were anointed with God's Spirit so that they could make the temple something beautiful and something that reflected something of God's beauty and glory. And so again, we can see that's that divinely inspired ability. There are lots of different beliefs about spiritual gifts in the church. This is one of those things Christians love to fight about. And we're not going to dig too deeply into any of that if there's different views on that here today. I think that there's a really good chance that we have all these different lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. I don't necessarily think they're exhaustive. I think that spiritual gifts are those divinely inspired abilities, and that can take a lot of different forms. Scripture doesn't say anything about these ones listed here being the only spiritual gifts in existence. Sometimes it can be frustrating how little the Bible says about spiritual gifts. It doesn't give us a lot of explanation about some of these gifts when we really wish that we had more answers. But what the Bible does spend a lot more time talking about, rather than each of these spiritual gifts in details, is about the purpose of them. That they are supposed to encourage and build up others, and the attitude that we're supposed to have when we use them. They're not to puff us up or make us feel really good or look really great. We're supposed to bring them as a humble offering to God as a way that's going to bless other people. And so there's a whole bunch of different ways that we could go about determining what our spiritual gifts are. I think sometimes we get given gifts for a season. So it's not like you figure this out in the first couple of years, you're a Christian and you're set for life. This is something I think is good to revisit and see what God might be wanting to do in us by His Holy Spirit. If you have a phone and you like this sort of stuff, you can do online tests. And I always caveat this in such a big measure. An online test does not like trump the authority of the Holy Spirit, obviously. But I have seen this activity be really, really helpful. Particularly, I do this a lot with younger Christians, with emerging leaders. And it can be helpful when something pops up that maybe they've never seen about or thought seen in themselves or thought about. And they're sitting there and they're wondering and their friends are like, yeah, I see that. Like, of course, like I do think that that's something that God might be saying about you and your life. So it can be a helpful exercise. But as I say, it is not the final authority. And if you want a link to something like that, I can definitely provide it. But I think what's more helpful is that we do this slowly and prayerfully in community, asking and seeing what God might be wanting to say to us about the spiritual gifts that He has given us. It's not an exact science, but some of the ways that we can go about doing this is just firstly by being available to God, right? Just being available to serve, saying yes to opportunities so that we can see what the Holy Spirit might have that special anointing and empowering in us to do. As we're doing that, as we're just saying yes and being available to God and to others, we can sort of note what we enjoy. We know where it seems like God really might be using us in sort of a particular way, something that, not that it comes easily, but there just seems to be this passion in us and we seem to see fruit and excitement when it happens. It's when we start to see those things cropping up as we serve other people, we can maybe try to put a name on it using those different lists in the Bible, but we can also talk to other people, ask friends or mentors or whatever that looks like, what they might be seeing in us, what spiritual gifts they might have noticed in our life. We can then pray about it and try to put more time into using that gift. That comes back to that principle that's like a muscle. We're supposed to use it for God's glory and to bless other people and not just hide away from it, especially if it might be scary or something that you maybe didn't want to know that God might be asking you to do. And then you can kind of do all that all over again, because often, more often than not, I think we've got more than one gift that might have on our life. And so this is a process I think we should do throughout different seasons. We should certainly do it if we've never done it before. Because these spiritual gifts are something that God has placed upon us so that we can bring glory to Him and bless His church. If we want to bring change, that is partnering with and empowered by God, using our spiritual gifts is an incredible way to be able to do that. And so we're going to take a little bit of a moment just to reflect on that around your tables. You can grab an extra table if you'd like to break into slightly smaller groups, but you guys stay as comfy as you would like. You can spend a bit of time just sitting and reflecting yourself and having a think. If you love to externally process and you want to have a chat to the other ladies that are around about you, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Just thinking about some of these things, maybe you know what your spiritual gifts are. Maybe you've walked in today going, yep, I've done this, that, and I feel like I've got a good grasp on this. There might be people in your group that don't, and you might want to share your experience of discovering what that looked like for you. Maybe if you don't know what your gifts are, have a think about these different questions, your experiences. Do you have a sense of perhaps what your spiritual gifts might be? So thinking about that, do you know, do you not know? Have a bit of a think. Write down any ideas in your little on your little sheet there. But particularly if you do know what your spiritual gifts are, one question that I think it's really helpful for us to often reflect on is, are you serving in ways that use your gifts? Are you strengthening the muscle, or is it something that you might be burying down? Are there ways that you can intentionally strengthen that gift that maybe you're not taking part in at the moment? Gifts can be used in all variety of different ways. I was a worship pastor back when I was in local church, and I just had this dear, dear man on our worship team. His name was Alan, and he was 72, and he played bass like no one I've ever heard. And he was just so available to be on our worship team. And that was obviously right. That was a skill and an ability that he was bringing. And he loved playing on our night service worship team, which he was the oldest by probably like 25 years, like sometimes, usually probably 30 or 35 years. And Alan was a great bass player. And he came and he brought that skill. But Alan 100% had the spiritual gift of encouragement. He really did. And he came every week on the worship team to do a job right. He had to play the right notes and get the stuff done. But as I saw Alan get to know particularly these young people on the team, as he sort of relaxed in himself and realized that they were really happy to talk to him, and as he began to use this gift of encouragement that he had, it was actually really astonishing the way I saw Alan's service in that team change. He felt so much more empowered, clearly. He knew the blessing that he could offer, particularly those young people on the team. But all of a sudden, he had all these new, like, 25-year-old best friends that just loved telling Alan about their life and asking for prayer and looking for wisdom. And so discovering what our spiritual gifts are, it doesn't necessarily mean like, oh man, I'm in a wrong ministry area or I need to change up my whole life. It's often just about the way that we are serving others and the opportunities we take up. So we're going to take a little bit of time. You guys can, as I say, you can chat as you would like. You can scribble, do whatever you would like. We've just got a couple of minutes and then I'll pull us back together and we'll keep on rolling. I'm going to roam around the room. So if you've got any questions, just wave me down and we can have a chat. All righty. I hope that's some helpful conversation. And again, I'm hoping today there might be, you know, if something like this, you're like, I've never thought about my spiritual giftings before. That's something you can take away. Talk to the leadership and the pastors here. Bring it to your women's group together. Go on some of those journeys together. And I'll be around if you want to talk any more about any of these throughout the afternoon and tomorrow as well. So that's the S in shape, as in our shape for how God has made us to be able to be useful for his kingdom. The heart, H stands for heart. Now, the Bible uses the term heart not the way that we would. They're not talking about a physical organ or even necessarily in the way that we would sort of metaphorically talk about our heart for something. It's a very big, all-encompassing word. It talks about our motivations and our desires and our hopes, our ambitions and our fears. And when we think about our heart then for service, how we can bless other people, I think it often means we're thinking about what we value the most deeply and what we're the most passionate about. That's what we're thinking about when we talk about the heart we have for service. I've got that word up there in italics on the screen, and I always have to clear my throat to try and give the Hebrew justice, rachum, something throaty and visceral like that, is a Hebrew word that translates probably better to compassion in English, but has this idea of heart behind it. And this definition of rachum, it's actually the word in the Hebrew, again, like who runs the world, girls, is very linked to the word for womb. The whole idea is that this word is a compassion or a love that's got this like motherly connotation to it that actually moves us to action. So it's not just a compassion that we feel, it's something that compels us to do something about the need that we see in front of us. And obviously we see this in so many places throughout the Bible. We see it in Jesus so many times in the New Testament. We read Jesus had compassion on the crowds and he went out and healed them. Jesus had compassion on the crowds, so he fed them. That's that same word that's being brought in. And so when we think about the idea of service, of bringing change and bringing good to our world, it's helpful for us to think about what is the heart that God has put in each one of us, because every single one of us will have different things that we're passionate about, different causes that we just want to like get up and scream about, and we just wonder why everybody doesn't care about them as much as we do. We're all going to have different expressions of what this looks like, which again says something about how God has uniquely placed each one of us to partner with him in bringing positive change in our world. And so I've got a couple of questions. They're not like huge, so if you can't read anything, just give me a wave and I'll let you know. But a couple of questions for you to consider as you think about, well, what is the heart that I have for service? Questions like, who do you love to work with the most or to serve? Do you love working with young children or youth or the elderly or people in prison or those who are homeless, parents or men or women? Who are the kind of people that your heart just goes out and you want to see them grow and be blessed? Who are those kinds of demographics? What issues or causes do you feel the most strongly about? Does your heart just break when you hear stories about domestic violence or disabilities or creation care, physical health, sexuality and gender? What are the kind of issues that you hear about in our world? And even though they might break your heart, there's just something in that you think, I feel like I have to do something about this. I have to do something to bring a positive change. What ministry or service roles have you done in the past? And I ask that question often, particularly, which ones felt like they were life-giving, they felt like you were where you were supposed to be, and which ones kind of felt more like an obligation? You just kind of felt like a job had to get done, and so you needed to do it, which has its place. But the ones that just fill us with that sense of like, yeah, I feel like this is important. Doesn't mean we're always winning, and there's always just amazing things happening, but you're just driven by this deep conviction that it's important that this work is being done. And another thing, this is a little bit left of field, but some people find it helpful, is thinking about what things do you value when you complete a task. This kind of taps into that idea of our motivations and our desires. Do you love creating new things or designing something out of nothing? Do you love improving things or repairing things, taking things that are broken and making them better? I'm much more like that than I am the first one. I'm not super creative and picking things up from scratch, but I can take something that's a little bit sad and nurture it and help it. And that directs the opportunities that I take up to serve God's church. Maybe you like leading the way. Maybe you like getting up behind and supporting and making sure that everyone's on the journey together. What are the things that motivate you? This can help us, you know, this helps us decide what kind of a ministry we might serve in our church life, but it goes much bigger than that as well. A few years ago, I just had a couple of weeks where I found myself in the city centre of Brisbane much more than I normally would. And I was walking through the streets, and I'd walked through the city a lot as a kid, but I just feel like I saw all the people that were suffering from homelessness on the streets there in a way I kind of hadn't before. I felt like every time I opened the news app on my phone, there would be an article about the rates of homelessness rising in our city. And it's the most poignant example I have in my life of this idea of that rakum. This compassion just welled up in me, and it kept welling up in me, and it was like God wasn't letting me forget. And it got, I was like, I have to do something about this. I don't know what I can do. So I started Googling, like, what charities could I volunteer for? What ways can I help? Even if I can't alleviate the issue, how can I get alongside these people and help them know that they are loved, that they have dignity? And so that's what we're kind of thinking of. What is something that rises up in us that we just have to do something about it? So again, just a couple of minutes for you to have a think, have a chat if you would like to, answer some of these questions and write in that little heart box, what is it that just fills you up to the point where you want to overflow and to go out and bless and serve others? Okay, so we've talked about spiritual gifts and the kinds of those divine like abilities God gifts us to bless him, bless others. We've talked about heart, that kind of that deep compassion and excitement sometimes that sort of wells up in us for a people group or a cause. The next one is abilities. We're going to have spiritual giftings that, you know, sort of get this like mantle of honor on them, but we also just have lots of talents, right, and skills, things that are not necessarily like gifts from the Lord, but are things that we have to offer that are still going to bless other people. And I hear lots of times people like, I don't have any skills. I'm like, yes, you do. Can you make a cup of tea, or can you learn to make a cup of tea? Like, that's a skill that's going to bless a church on a Sunday morning, right? Or somebody that's going through a hard time, or there is really no excuse. Everyone has abilities that they can use to bless other people. As a whole, this list is not exhaustive, right? But this is just all of the craziest, you know, some of these things relate to a career we might end up in. Somebody might be really good at writing grants and they do that as a career. Other people might have skills like decorating. They just have like the most beautiful home and can make an event or a space just feel so much more, you know, homely and cozy than somebody else. All these different abilities. We probably won't stop too long here. Just as I'm talking, if you just want to note down the different abilities and different things that you have either maybe used in service in the past, or you know that you have that maybe you could use. But the caveat that I have with this particular aspect, it's very important for us to know, but I think that the temptation and the danger when it comes to this is often just where we get really busy. We get really busy doing this stuff because it's easy and it's accessible and it's the things that often feel like they're high need. And again, sometimes stuff has to get done and we can help, and that's a good thing. But I think I see so many people who spend so much of their life just doing this stuff, but they don't ever tap into the heart. They don't ever realize what spiritual gifts God has given them. And there's such an extra amount of wealth that God wants to bring up in those other areas. And the reason we do all five of these letters is because they're all supposed to inform each other and help us know what we can say yes to or what we might say no to in terms of opportunities or ways that we can serve. And so while this is important, and this is often a very good place to start with people, it should definitely not be the place where we stay and we spend our whole life of service. These could go throughout the whole way, but it's just that busyness we want to guard against. But I think particularly as we maybe, like people we know, come to faith or start going to church, this is really helpful. There was a new family that started coming to the last church that I was at where I was pastoring, and it was beautiful. They were a huge Samoan family. The matriarch and the patriarch of this family came to faith. They lived next door to our like evangelist pastor, so they had absolutely no chance. It wasn't long, and they were all of a sudden believing in the Lord, and it was just this domino effect. Like, it felt like every week there was a new member of this family coming, and it was so beautiful. Like, they were all getting baptized, but it was like in between the baptisms, half the family was getting married. None of them had been married. They were all like together and had children and living together, but they're reading the Bible and they'd come to school. They're like, yeah, we should be married. I think that's what God wants us to do. So this family for like 6 months was like a wedding and a baptism and a wedding and a baptism. And it was so beautiful to watch. But they were finding their place, right? And one day, one of the younger girls came up to me and she's like, oh, I just really want to get to know people. And I know everybody kind of does stuff around here, but I don't know what to do. And she had noticed, she said, oh, like, can I help on morning tea? She's like, I can, you know, I could get to know some people. And it was just such a simple thing that she had. And I knew, I was like, man, you now love Jesus and I've heard you sing. So I will have you on the worship team any day now if you would like to come and join. But that was just something so simple that still enabled her to come in and to bless others, to encourage the church. It was such a simple ability, but it just played such a special part in her getting to know God and getting to know her church community. So I said, yeah, we probably won't stop, but just have a think. Just jot down anything that you can, whether it's building or gardening or childminding or singing or like whatever it could be, sewing. Even if it's an ability that doesn't fit into like a typical church ministry that we might think of, that's exactly the point. What do you have? How can you use any of those skills creatively to bless others? There's going to be all kinds of surprising opportunities when we start to think about those things together. The next letter in our discovering what our shape is for service or for ministry is personality. Personality is going to affect the way we use things like our gifts and our abilities, right? You could get two people side by side and they might have a whole bunch in common in terms of things that they can do or causes that they're passionate about. But that unique personality and the way they're shaped means that they're going to outwork those things in entirely different ways. I think understanding our personality is helpful for us. It helps us know how we relate to other people. But it just gives us a greater self-awareness. When is something going to upset us? How do we need to process information? How do we navigate this world? That's where this comes in handy. There are a whole bunch of different personality tests. It's like a whole big area of, you know, like psychology these days. And again, if you ever wanted to have a look, you can let me know and I'll give you some online tests. We're just going to do like a guesstimate version today. So you can take this away and look into it as much or as little as you would like. But one of the personality tests that's really, really popular is called Myers-Briggs. Has anybody heard of this or done a Myers-Briggs before? A couple of people. I did a psychology degree and they like teach you this stuff in uni, but they still sort of sprinkle it with this like, look, it's not like the most research-based thing in the entire world, but it's usually like really quite insightful. You often read the descriptions at the end of these tests and go, yeah, wow, that's me. Like it's pretty freaky. And so in this Myers-Briggs, there's a number of different components. So you'll end up with kind of four letters. You can write them down as we go. But you'll pick each one. And then when you have your four letters, you can Google it and it'll tell you more about this like personality type that you've popped out with. And as I say, they're just this really helpful reflection tool. They help us be a little bit more aware of things like how we interact with others, how we process information. And so it's helpful along the way. So the first little category of the Myers-Briggs test is how we interact with our surroundings. This is probably the one that people have the easiest time answering if they don't have any perspective of this. You're either an extrovert or an introvert. They're words that many of us would have heard before, right? Extroverts receive energy from being around others. They just cannot get enough of it. They can often seem more excitable people. It's not that they're more excited than introverts, they're just a little bit louder about it, is usually the way that it goes. They often learn better by sharing and doing things with others. You know, they're the people that could have back-to-back social engagements all week and they're just like living the dream. It's their happy place. I'm not an extrovert. Introverts receive energy, they need some recharge time. Introverts still like people, they still like have social skills, but they just also need to retreat, right? They need to have those moments of quiet where they can recharge. Often they're a little bit more reflective or quiet internal processes. Sometimes they can be a little bit more sensitive, you know, when they're just in a busy place with lots of noise, lots of people, it can just feel a little bit more overwhelming. And so depending on what yours is in that little personality box, you can either write an E that's underlined on the screen there or an I. This is very important when we think about service. If you're an introvert, you need to be careful about how much you cram into your week and the kinds of margins that you're giving yourself to revive and to be rejuvenated. I often see, you know, extroverts will often beat themselves up like, oh, you know, I'm not taking enough like contemplate. I need to go on like 7 spiritual retreats a year and I need to spend all this time alone. But it's not the way they're wired. And we need to not beat ourselves up about that. You know, we need to be honest about the way that God has created us. So that's number one. The second category is how we process information. The first, this category in particular, if you've done Myers-Briggs, they have different words that characterize them sometimes. But the first one is observant, and you'll use the letter S if this is you. It means you're a little bit more focused on the present. You like to see what's in front of you. You want concrete, tangible information that you can process and that you can deal with. Often these people have a little bit more of that like attention to detail. They're really steady and sequential. They love making lists and getting things done. They like a plan. The other one is intuition, where you can use N, the letter N if this is you. People who process information as a little bit more intuitive, they love focusing on future possibilities. They're the big dreamers. They've always got great ideas. They see the big picture more than the concrete details. They can often see, you know, rather than like facts sequentially, they'll see big picture like connections and patterns, but they don't want to get down into the nitty gritty. And typically, this is all very stereotypical, but typically they'll prefer novelty over stability. They don't want like a big list and tasks they've got to tick off. They love like jumping from project to project and high energy. So that is number two. So that's a S if you feel more observant, or N if you feel like maybe the intuition. This is how we process information. The third category is how we deal with decisions and emotions. So some people are more orientated towards thinking. They like to examine like the logical consequences of an action over emotions. If they think it's a really good idea and they can see that it's going to be helpful, like they won't think so much about someone's feelings being hurt along the way if they think that this is the best path to take. They're really good at objectively weighing up pros and cons. So again, it's just all about what are the consequences, what are the facts, like, you know, what's going on here. They're often really energized by problem solving because it's something that they can break down into chunks. They can fix a problem if they just have enough steps and think about it clearly enough. The other side of this is feeling, right? Which often has a higher emphasis on values rather than like concrete facts. In a process, particularly like of something like change, they enjoy appreciating and supporting other people. And they seek to maintain harmony. It's not so much about like, you know, objectively what is the best decision. They're thinking about all the different people involved in a situation and how it's going to affect each one of them. Obviously, on all of these, there's a continuum, right? Like, and when you do these tests online, obviously it'll scale you. I'm like 60% introvert, 40%, you know, extrovert. So they like class you really funny. So don't feel like you're being totally boxed into one corner or the other. But those are two here as well. And the last category is how we approach work and other different kinds of decision making. So on one side, judging if someone is a little bit more decisive and they're thorough, they're organized, right? Love a bit of clarity. It often means that they're a little bit more predictable, not in a bad way. That can be like stability as well as predictability, but, you know, has a process, can get it done, prefers structure and planning. And the other one is prospecting. These guys are those ones that just sort of, they can just fly by the seat of their pants and they just absolutely soar and you have no idea how, if that's not your personality type. Way more flexible and relaxed, like to keep options open. So those are the two, J for judging, P for prospecting. I don't have all of the definitions of all the different personality types, but if you've got one, you can go and you can like look it up on the internet or find a book about it and it'll tell you more about your personality type. And the few caveats I give people is yes, okay, first and foremost, it does not box you in. You could read something about the description of that type and it really resonates and other things go, oh, it's not really me. And that's okay. You don't have to be what this weird personality profile on the internet has told you that you are. But it's helpful for that self-awareness. It's particularly helpful when we work alongside others, you know? All of a sudden, you understand why you really love lists and you can't believe that this other person on your team won't just like take a step back and help like make the process a little bit clearer. So I spend a lot of time doing this with leaders and with teams trying to figure out, all right, let's do a big map of everyone on this team, of everybody's personalities, where there might be clashes, where there might be tension, where there's opportunity, not just the bad things, but how, you know, a team that's full of different personalities can be a really strong team if everybody is working together. And so knowing what your, you know, deal is individually, even if you don't know what everyone else around you is like, it's helpful to know your place. I'm often surrounded by people that are the natural improvisers and the big vision and the planning, you know, that real like typical type A kind of leader. I'm surrounded by people like that in my workplace, but that's not me. I'm the introvert. I love a plan. I can think about how 50 people are going to react emotionally in a situation. And often that makes me feel like I'm really at odds with the group around me. But I know because of those differences, we can serve together well. And we can make even more of a difference together than we could apart. And so that's where this kind of comes into play, I think, when we think about serving others. Knowing ourselves well, understanding how we relate to other people, it can be really helpful. It's not always going to be an answer, but it's just kind of some of that self-awareness work that's really helpful for us to do when we work alongside others. So that's personality. And the last letter in our shape profile, how God has made us for ministry, is experiences. For better or for worse, right? Our life is shaped by our experiences. Positive experiences inform us and shape us, but painful experiences do too. Sometimes they're things we need to overcome or things that we need to grieve through and process. We have all different experiences that are going to play different roles. And again, they just open up different doors and opportunities for ways that we can bless others. When you think about experiences, some little notes you can write down. What kinds of ministry experiences have you had? Demographics of people you've served or ministry roles you fulfilled. Again, think about which of those just like made you so excited to rock up and to be helpful, and which ones maybe felt a little bit more difficult? Different spiritual experiences you might have had, you know, concrete ones like baptism or leading someone to Christ. Which of those experiences maybe, you know, evangelists in particular would think about spiritual experience and be like, man, yeah, like immediately what jumps to mind is talking to my neighbors about Jesus and talking to my family. And it starts to inform what kind of ministry God might be really moving in their life. Educational experiences that you've had, there's not anything super significant about all of these. It's just, again, it's just a self-awareness exercise. Where have we been? What have we learned along the way? That can involve schooling or higher ed, different informal training. You forgot a short course you did 10 years ago that you actually loved, but you never really did much with it. Is there something in that that God might want to use? Work experiences that you might have had. You know, often these things do come up. Different careers or paths that we've been on become a blessing to those around us. We can share experiences. I put parenthood in that category just because I think that that's, people wouldn't necessarily like call it a work experience, but that's a huge chunk of life where people are working really, really hard. They're not only investing in their family, but is a massive opportunity to bless others as well. The empathy that it brings you, you remember the years you were in the trenches with tiny children that wouldn't stop crying. You can practically bless people, spiritually bless them by praying for them. Another opportunity that's really helpful. But often our painful experiences, I think, are some of the fruit of the most significant ministry that God might want us to take on. I share this point carefully because sometimes, you know, when you're going through something hard, it's not the best time to be talking about it with everyone or trying to lead the way. We need to process through difficult times in our life before we might be able to serve out of them. But think about something like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. It's big over in the US. It's here too, but it's big over in the US. The sponsors, the people who walk with the brand new recovering alcoholics are recovering alcoholics themselves. Sometimes it's those painful experiences that we're walking through that put us in the best position to walk through empathetically with others that are going through something difficult. In this room, we would have so many stories, I'm sure, about painful experiences with mental health issues. Things like chronic pain, death and loss, divorce, career, you name it. It's a bit of a like a downer to finish on this one here. But often these are the places where we can get alongside people when it matters most for them. And so knowing these things and not necessarily shying away from them, but processing them, really letting God teach us everything he wants to teach us. So we can sit in places really empathetically and get alongside others. His life is not always rosy, but we do not need to be alone in those moments either. And so again, on your sheet of paper, out of just some of those questions, whatever's popping to your mind, you can write down a couple of different answers there about experiences that you might have had that you think God could really use that to bless others. And so that is your shape profile. And I hope maybe that as you look down, even if you didn't have a concrete answer for every one of those different points, that's fine. But I hope just as you look at this weirdly simplified bit of paper, you can see a little bit more about the way that God has shaped you. That God has shaped you uniquely with a purpose. Before you were born, Psalm 139 is up on the screen there, that beautiful passage that talks about God creating us, knitting us together in our mother's womb, making us fearfully and wonderfully. Nothing about us is hidden from God. All the days of our life, he knows before we've lived a single one of them. And this is, you know, a funny experience that boils it right down on this bit of paper, but it helps us understand how God has shaped us to make an impact in this world, how God has shaped us to impact the lives of others for his glory and for their good. And understanding how God has shaped us will help us know where and how we can serve. And so there's a couple of questions I think that we can just ask ourselves that you can continue to reflect on over some yummy food in our next session. Maybe when you think about all of this, you think about your life and look at that little bit of paper and you think, man, there are some untapped opportunities in my life to bless others. I feel like God's actually saying something about the way that he's shaped me that I've never really taken advantage of. Maybe there is new opportunities I can serve, new passions that I can tap into. Maybe there's something new that God wants you to step into when you take this opportunity to think and reflect. Maybe you look at the page and you think, yeah, I'm in the right place. I'm serving in some good areas that are utilizing this, but maybe you don't have the right heart. You know, we started this journey in Romans 12 talking about being a living sacrifice, being humble. Maybe you're serving and doing lots of stuff, but maybe there's some pride that's crept in, or you're not coming with a heart to really help other people. Maybe that's a heart check. And maybe you look at your little page and then you think about the way you're living and the way you're serving. Maybe you just feel really busy, right? Maybe you're doing good stuff, like often the things we get busy with are not bad things, but maybe there's just not quite that same purpose. Perhaps if you were to align the things you do and the way you spend your time and the kind of opportunities you take up to help others with the things that are on that piece of paper, there would be some new life blown into it, a new sense of purpose and direction. And so I'm going to pray for us before we have some food. And we're going to continue to talk. And the next session is a little bit more of me, inspiring everybody. And hopefully my prayer as I've come into today has been that we could take this time just to reflect a little bit afresh on who we are and how God's made us. But we can also remember his power, that he's the ultimate one that brings change in our world. And as we partner alongside him, we can see great eternal fruit for his kingdom. So I'm gonna pray, and then I think we'll jump over into afternoon tea. And if you've got any questions or anything that you want to share, don't be shy to come up and say hello in the break especially. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for each woman in this room. You have shaped each one of them uniquely and purposefully. And Lord, I just pray that this opportunity today to look inward a little bit, to hold the mirror up to ourselves in a way, I pray it's a great blessing for each one of us. Lord, I pray that you would remind us and bring to mind things about ourselves that maybe we've never had the security to really acknowledge. Maybe things about ourselves that we've forgotten. But are parts of the way that you've made us that you want to use to bring glory to you, to change the lives of others, to bring good into this broken world. And so, Father, I pray that you would continue to just take what we've just reflected on all throughout this week, Lord, and just continue to bring it to mind, continue to mull it over in our hearts so that we can take steps of faithfulness and obedience, that we can serve in the places that best fit the way that you have built us to be. And so would you bless these women? Would you bless this food that we're about to eat, the hands that have prepared it? Continue to bless our fellowship so that we can be encouraged, we can be lifted up and reminded that in this life we are not alone. We walk side by side and hand in hand with other women of God that want to see more good brought into this world. So we just pray a blessing over this time and this food in Jesus' name. Amen.